ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदः दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः We are now starting with the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The 7th chapter concluded. The theme of the 7th chapter was expressed by Lord Krishna in the beginning of that chapter. Yajñātvā nihabhoyonyat jñātavyam avaśiṣyate. Hey Arjuna, I will tell you about that, knowing which nothing remains to be known. So it's called pratignya, or this proposition Lord Krishna made, knowing which nothing remains to be known. This is the theme that we find in the Upanishads also. Like in Mundaka Upanishad also this question is asked. Kasmin bhagava vijñāte sarvedam vijñātam bhavadeti. O revered sir, what is it? Knowing which, all this as well becomes known. This theme, by knowing one thing, everything becomes known. This is the theme of the Upanishads. By that, what is meant is, that what we call all this, when really analyzed, turns out to be only one thing. What is all this? If there are a number of pots and pans lying in front of us, each one has a different name and a form and a use. However, when we analyze them, they all turn out to be nothing but clay, one thing. And so we can say that by knowing the clay, all the vessels made of clay are as well known, because that is what is truly to be known about a part. So also about ourselves, about yourselves, about everything that is in the universe, sentient and insentient, whatever there is, Vedanta says that all of these originates only from one. It is sustained by one, it merges back into one. Again Upanishad says, Yatova imani bhutani jayante, yena jatani jivanti, yat prayanti avisamvishanti. That from which all these beings of the whole universe emerges, that by which it is sustained, unto which it merges back. That's a very beautiful thing, that all this variety and diversity which we perceive has its being in one alone, that even though on the surface everything looks different from everything else, from one standpoint everything enjoys a uniqueness, which also is beautiful, that no two things are identical. That's one characteristic of the creation. And the other important characteristic is that in spite of the fact that everything is different from everything else, that at the core everything is one alone. And therefore, Vedanta invites us to respect both of these, to know the oneness or the unity which obtains in the diversity. So relate to the diversity with the understanding of the unity. Vedanta does not say that there is no diversity, that there is no, the differences are not there. It doesn't say that because we perceive the differences. But in spite of the perceived differences, there is oneness or unity, knowing which you as well know everything. Because this also is a desire on the part of the human intellect. It is the function of the intellect to know, and our intellect has a curiosity that it wants to know everything. If I had my way, I would want to know everything. And which is what we are doing all the time, trying to poke our nose in everything and looking through every keyhole and whatever, is what's happening where. Behind all that activity is the desire to know everything. The desire to know everything is a genuine desire. It is not a planted desire. It is not that someday I decided that I want to know everything, I am born with that desire. However, the way in which I am trying to fulfill that desire will never lead to the fulfillment of that desire, because I can never know how many grains of sand there are in the universe and how many stars there are, and I would never know that, or how many drops of water there are in the ocean. There is no way to know that. And that is how I am trying to fulfill my desire to know everything. Upanishad says, look, your desire to know everything is a genuine desire. But the way to fulfill the desire is to recognize that even through all this diversity, there is unity or oneness. But if you closely look at what appears to be diverse on the surface, turns out to be only one principle. And that is the theme of Vedanta. That is how the seventh chapter also began. Yajnyatva nevoyonyat jnatavyam avashishyate. Here Arjuna, knowing which, nothing then more remains to be known. Meaning your intellect will be satisfied that it has known what it wanted to know. In the process of fulfilling that promise that Lord Krishna made in the beginning of the seventh chapter, Lord Krishna said, Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Hey dhananjaya, Hey Arjuna, in this universe there is nothing other than me. And Lord Krishna explained how whatever is nothing but the Lord alone. Lord Krishna also described how to see me everywhere. He described is what we call vibhuti or the glories, how he is present everywhere. Rasoham apsa kauntiya, hey kauntiya, hey Arjuna, in the water I am present as a very taste. Prabhasmi shashi surya yoho, in the sun and moon I am present as the very light. Pranavaha saravedeshu, in all the Vedas I am present, I pervade all the Vedas as pranava, as omkara. In the earth I am present as every fragrance. In the space I am present as a sound. In the intelligent I am present as the very intellect. In the brilliant I am present as the brilliance. In the strong I am present as the strength. I am everywhere. Whatever is due to me. Not only that I am in all the good things, in everything I am. Yachaiva sattvika bhavaha rajasaha tamasasya. Whatever sattvik, rajas or tamas, whatever is made of sattva, rajas or tamas, Arjuna, know that all that originates from me. Meaning that I am manifest as this universe. Tribihi gunamayehi bhavaihi ebihi mohitam jagat. Lord Krishna says that I am manifest as the whole universe. Having put on the costume of these three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. That people do not recognize me. They only look at the surface. And they get deluded merely by my appearance, that I appear as sattvic, as rajas, as tamas, and that much is what they take me to be. Param bhavam ajanantaha mama bhuta maheshwaram, not knowing my supreme or ultimate nature, that in all these limited things, the I, the limitless, is manifest. All of this Lord Krishna taught. And the seventh chapter concluded. Jara marana mokshaya mama shrityatanti te brahma tad viduh krishnam adhyatmam karma chakiram. Lord Krishna says, those who come to know me, those who strive and make an a proper effort to know me, they come to know me. And when they come, they know me Ishwar or God, or they know me who is the truth, what all do they know? Meaning that when does our knowledge of Ishwara becomes complete? In what way should you know Ishwara, then our knowledge of Ishwara is complete? Te Brahma tad viduhu kritsnam. Lord Krishna says that they know Brahman, which is the substratum, adhisthana of everything, which transcends everything. So here, Lord Krishna says that God is the one that transcends as well as that pervades. It is transcendental as well as immanent. It pervades everything, it transcends everything. Like an actor who puts on various costumes and plays different roles. The same actor now appears as a beggar, then appears as a king, and then appears as a minister, and whatever number of roles the actor takes. The actor simultaneously pervades all the roles and transcends all the roles. Meaning that he is present in the beggar also, in the king also, in the minister, in all of them. At the same time, he transcends all them. Because the beggar, or the minister, or the king, nothing really touches the actor. So he's in all of them, at the same time, he's in none of them. He's in all of them, at the same time, he transcends them. In fact, the one who transcends alone can pervade. Because if one only pervades, then it cannot be all pervading unless it transcends. So reality is transcendental as well as all pervasive. And so Lord Krishna says that I am in everything. Sahasra shirasha purushaha, sahasra akshaha, sahasrapat, sabhumim, vishvato vratva, atyatishtat, dashangalam. Even Purushottam also says that who is Ishvara, who is God? Sahasra shirasha, one who thinks through thousands of heads, countless heads. Sahasraksha, one who sees through countless eyes. Sahasrapat, who walks or moves through countless legs, acts through countless hands, hears through countless ears, who pervades the entire universe. Atyatishtat dashangulam, stands 10 inches above, meaning that while transcending, he pervading, he transcends everything. Everything is like that. You know, like gold. From gold we make number of ornaments. Gold pervades all the ornaments. Is it not so? Because gold in present is all the ornaments. Gold is bangle also, earring also, chain also, everything gold is. But when is that possible? When is it possible for the gold to take all these different forms when gold itself doesn't have a form? So gold itself is formless and therefore is able to take all the forms. So also Ishvara or God or Brahman, he is beyond all the forms and attributes and qualities, at the same time pervades, he is present in every form, every attribute, every quality. Therefore, Lord Krishna said at the end of the 7th chapter that when they know me, they know Brahman. Brahman means the limitless, which informs everything, which sustains everything, same time which transcends everything. So Brahman is transcendental as well as pervades everything. He manifests as everything. Krishna Vidhyatmam. Brahman alone manifests as individual self. Sadhibhuta Devam Mam Adhibhutam. Brahman alone manifests the elemental worlds. Adhidevam. Brahman alone manifests as the divine world which controls all the universe. Adhiyajnam. Brahman alone is the karma faladata, karmadhyaksha. In all these different expressions, Brahman present, manifests. So our knowledge of Brahman or God or Ishvara can be called complete only when we know Ishvara in all these forms. We know Ishvara as at the individual level. So the individual also is nothing but Brahman. The elemental world also is Brahman. The gods that control the elements, that also is Brahman. The one that controls all the actions and gives the results of all the actions, that also is Brahman. Everything is Brahman. The one that transcends is Brahman, and one that is manifest as the universe also is Brahman. In all these various expressions, when you know Brahman, then alone our knowledge is complete. This is how the 7th chapter got completed. And in the last couple of verses, Lord Krishna used a number of words which were used for the first time. Lord Krishna used the word Brahman, Adhibhutam, the elemental, Adhyatmam, the individual, Adhidevam, obtaining the divine plane, Adhiyajna, obtaining the plane of Yajna. All these words Arjuna had not heard. Adhibhuta, Adhideva, Adhyatma, Adhiyajna, Karma, Brahma. And Lord Krishna says that then the wise person knows all of this. When wise person knows Brahman, he knows Adhyatma also, Adhibhuta also, Adhidaiva also, Adiyajna also, Karma also, all of these wise person knows. Arjuna wants to know then. That is why, from how Lord Krishna concluded the seventh chapter, that is self-created in fact, there is scope for questions on the part of Arjuna. Sometimes there is also a style, that you just say something that creates questions on the part of the listeners. So you develop a curiosity, create a question and answer. Create a question and answer. So when we ask a question and that question is answered, then we are highly satisfied. In satsang also, if somebody asks question and that is replied, then we look around or we listen with general interest, but if it is not our question, we are not much interested. But when someone answers question that is in my own mind, then it really touches me. It satisfies me, it gives me a new insight. So that is why perhaps Lord Krishna deliberately used those expressions or those words, so that this question would arise in the mind of Arjuna, and then Lord Krishna would answer them. So we find that the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita opens with some 7 questions, and there's a whole series of questions he asks. In the first two verses of the 8th chapter, Arjuna asks 7 questions, which are all based on the last 2 verses or last 1.5 verses of 7th chapter. So let us now look at the first 2 verses of the 8th chapter. The handout, I guess, all of you must have. Arjuna uvacha kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adhidaivam kim uchyate adi yajñah katham kotra dehesmin madhusudana prayana kale cha katham jneyosi niyatatmabhi. Arjuna vacha, because it was natural that these questions would arise in the mind of Arjuna. If Arjuna is listening, of course, you know, if Arjuna is listening to what Lord Krishna is saying, number one, and is interested in what Lord Krishna is saying, of course, number two, then these questions would arise. Kim tad brahma? O Lord, what is that Brahman? You said that the wise person knows Brahman. What's the nature of Brahman? Because word Brahma is used in more than one sense. It is used in the sense of Saguna Brahma, meaning Brahma with attributes. Also in sense of Nirguna Brahma, Brahman beyond attributes. So word Brahma used in both Saguna as well as Nirguna. O Lord, when you say that the wise person knows Brahman, in which sense did you mean? Did you mean that Brahman is Saguna Brahma with attributes or Nirguna Brahma beyond attributes? So that's why I question, Kim Tad Brahma, which is that Brahman which you say does the wise person know? Kim Adhyatmam, the Lord, you also said that wise person knows Adhyatmam. Atma here means body. Atmanam adhikritya, atmanam deham adhikritya yad vartade tad adhyatmam. That which obtains, or that which is located in the body, is called adhyatma. So what is it? What is it adhyatma? So many things are located in the body. By adhyatma do you mean One of the sense organs? You mean the mind? You mean the intellect? Or you mean the consciousness? So, when you say the wise person knows God as manifested at the level of individual, in what way is God manifest at the level of individual? We have the sense organs, we have the mind, we have intellect, and also there is consciousness. In which way? So which is, what is meant by Adhyatma? What is the expression, what is the manifestation of Ishvara at the individual level? Kim karma? Again, Lord, you said that the wise person knows what is karma. Karma is action, wise person knows the secret of action. So what is action that you meant? Actions are of different kinds. Action is Vedic karma. Then some laukika karma, the karma action we perform in day-to-day activity, that is also called action. The actions prescribed by Vedas also is called action. So what do you mean by the word karma? Adibhutam. Then you said adibhutam. Again, bhuta means elements. Adibhutam, that which is located in the elements. Adhyatma, that which is located in the body. Adibhuta, that which is located in the elements. So, you said that Ishvara is adibhuta, manifest at the elemental level. You mean one of these elements, such as earth or fire, etc., or it is something else? Adhidaivam kimuchyate. What is adhidaiva? How is Ishvara manifest at the divine plane? Is he one of these devatas like Indra Varuna or is someone else? Purushottama. Here Arjuna addresses Lord Krishna as Purushottama. Purushanam uttamaha Purushottamaha. In the 15th chapter, Lord Krishna says that there are three expressions. Ksharah Purushaha, Aksharah Purushaha, Purushottama. So, Lord, you are Purushottama. You are the most exalted Purusha. And therefore, you are all-knowing. There is nothing that is unknown to you. And therefore, you are in the most appropriate position to answer this question. No, ordinary person cannot answer this question. But you are Purushottama, you are all-knowing. And therefore, you are the most fit or qualified to answer these questions. So, please do that. Otherwise, Lord Krishna, I'm sorry, I don't know. You're Purushottama. So you're supposed to know. And I know that you know. And they will kindly answer these questions. And then second, Adhiyajnah Katham. Again, Lord Krishna said that the wise person knows Adhiyajnah, the entity that obtains at the level of yajna or sacrifices. Who is that? Adhiyajnah katham kotra dehesmin madhusudana. Again another sambodhana, madhusudana. You know, Madhu was the name of a demon. Madhusudana, the slayer of the demon Madhu, is called Madhusudana. And what is meant is, this demon here stands for the external as well as the internal obstacles that we have. Although demons are all described in our Puranas, and I'm sure they were there, but then symbolically, the demons or asuras stand for the obstacles that come to us from external world, as well as obstacles that come to us from our own self. Madhusudana, the slayer of the demon Madhu, meaning that one who slays all the external and internal obstacles. Out of his kindness, out of kindness, Lord incarnates as Krishna and slays all these demons. So, Lord, you are very kind and very compassionate. And you are almighty. You are capable of destroying all the obstacles. In my case now, the obstacles are in the form of all these questions and doubts. And unless these questions are answered, I'll be very restless. I'll be very unhappy. And therefore, please remove these obstacles in the form of doubts and questions. You know, so the important thing Lord Krishna said at the end of the 7th chapter. Prayana kale pichamam deviduhu yukta chetasaha. Lord Krishna said that those who know me in all this way, know me as Brahman, know me as Adhyatma, Adibhuta, Adideva, Adiyajna, Karma, in all these expressions, those who know me, they continue to abide in me even at the time of death. See, time of death is a very difficult time to remember anything. All one can remember, all one is concerned about is holding on to this life. And there is a tremendous struggle at that time. At that time, nobody can remember God or anything. But Lord Krishna says that, one who knows me, in all this way, even at the time of death also, continues to remain abiding in me. So Arjuna wants to know, prayana kale cha katham. You know the famous verse, Krishna tvadiya padapankaja pinjarante adyayame vasatumana sarajahamsa. This is prayer on the part of the devotee. O Lord Krishna, please bless me that my mind, which is like a bird, like a hamsa, manasa rajahamsa, my mind is like a rajahamsa. Bless me that this mind gets caught in the cage of a lotus feet. The hamsa, or this bird, which is my mind, please bless me that it gets caught right away in the cage of a lotus feet. Krishna tvadiya pada pankaja pinjarante adyeva right away vasatume manasa rajahamsa. Now only, right away. Don't worry, my child, at the time of death you remember, he says, no. Prana prayana samaye kafavata pittaihi kantha urodhana vidhau. I can't utter your name. The time of death, to utter your name is very difficult. Because my throat will be choked with cough and all kinds of things, that time to utter your name is not only possible. So I don't want to wait until then. Bless me that right away my mind gets caught in the cage of a lotus feet. That's the idea. So here, therefore, Arjuna is concerned, wondering, prayana kale cha katham gnyasi niyatatma vihi. And even at the time of death also, niyatatma vihi, by those who control their mind, how is it possible for them to know you even at the time of death? A series of 7 questions have been raised here by Arjuna in these first 2 verses. And Lord Krishna answers them in the same sequence in which Arjuna has asked them. So, if this is so, yatha kramam nirnayaya, it is said that when you answer the questions in the same sequence in which person has asked, it is much easier for the questioner to grasp your answers because he can relate correctly. And therefore, Lord Krishna answers these questions in the same sequence in which Arjuna has asked them. Let us go to the verse number 3. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aksharam Brahma Paramam Svabhava Dhyatma Muchyate Bhuta Bhavod Bhavakaraha Visargah Karma Sanyitaha. Sri Bhagavan Vaja, Lord Krishna said, answering this question, the same sequence, Kim Tad Brahma, the first question was, Kim Tad Brahma, O Lord Krishna, what is that Brahman? Answer is, Aksharam Brahma Paramam. Aksharam, Naksharati iti aksharam, that which does not suffer a loss or decay is called aksharam. Meaning that which is immutable, that which is imperishable. Immutable, imperishable, indestructible is Lord Krishna says Paramam Brahma. Again, the word Brahma is qualified as Paramam Brahma. Paramam means that which is free from the limitation of time, place and conditions. Paramam is limitless. Even though word Brahman itself means limitless, Bruhatvad Brahma, so that which is limitlessly great, that which is the great, meaning that it is boundlessly great or boundlessly, it is boundless. So Brahman itself means limitless. However, as you said, word Brahma is used in more than one sense. In fact, Lord Krishna in this chapter itself will use the word Brahma in the sense of Omkara Pranava. Om ityekaksharam Brahma vyaharan ma manusmaran. Lord Krishna later on will say that one who utters Omkara, which is aksharam, which is immutable, Om iti ekaksharam Brahma, so Om, which is the Brahman of one letter, one syllable. So word Brahma is used even to denote Omkara or Pranava. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Paramam Brahma. By Brahma I do not mean Omkara or Pranava, because Omkara is a syllable. It is not limitless. What I mean by our Brahma is that which is limitless and that which is immutable. In short, there is a principle which is immutable. That is a principle that is imperishable. This becomes very important to know, because whatever we know or whatever we experience is invariably changing and mutable and perishable. Is it not so? Whatever that we experience, whatever we come across, whatever we know, is always limited. Everything has its origin, and whatever is born also is going to perish. So you tell me, where is this imperishable? Wherever you look, even if you go to heavens and go to Brahmaloka also, Brahmaloka is beyond the imagination of anybody, but there is something called Brahma. Heavens is all that you can imagine, but there are so many heavens there. So Suvaha, Mahaha, Janaha, Tapaha, Satyam, so many kinds of heavens are there. Satyaloka or Brahmaloka is the most exalted heaven. Even that also is perishable. Abrahma bhuvanan lokaha punaravartino arjuna. Lord Krishna says that all the realms, all the way up to Brahmaloka also, are subject to punaravartin, meaning that they come back again and again. That means they are born and then they die. They are perishable. Nothing is imperishable. Everything is perishable. Can you tell me? Everything is changing, is not so? That's why Bauddha said that sarvam kshanikam kshanikam. Everything is momentary, momentary. Sarvam dukkham dukkham. Because it is momentary, it is changing. Therefore, you can never rely upon that. You think that it is such and such, next moment it turns out to be something else, third moment it is something else, and you can never be certain about anything. Never. Everything is fallible. Everything is changing. Does this imperishable or immutable, does it have any relevance in our life? Suppose there is Brahman, that is immutable, what does it matter, Swamiji? There are black holes and all kinds of stuff is there. Just let it be there. What does it matter to us? As an academic knowledge is all that you might want to study about black holes, etc. Even if you did not know about that, nothing will happen, nothing will matter in your life. As far as I know, I do not know if it matters or not. I do not know. I don't think so. But this immutable or imperishable or changeless, does it have any relevance in our life? Whether it is there or not, does it matter to us? What does it matter? Does it matter? Does it have any relevance in our day-to-day life? Or at any time in our life? Does it have any relevance? Then what does it matter? Whether Brahman is there or not, whether it's immutable or not, does it matter to us? Does it have any relevance in our life? Does it have? What's the relevance? Yeah. Take a life of sport and enjoy it. Yeah, but still, what? But most people have not even heard the name Brahman. Most people don't even know such a thing as, you know. They say that if you are not a Christian, then you go to hell. I think most people don't even know what Christianity is. So everybody is going to hell, you know. Okay. Similarly also, and before Christ was born, the majority of people were already up there in the hell, I guess. If you do not know Brahman, most people would not have heard about it. You are fortunate to have heard that there is something called Brahman, that you are Brahman, etc. But then, otherwise, for a person who has never heard of Brahman, for that person, would it be relevant at all? Have you heard Swami saying that everyone is in search of the infallible? Everyone is in search of... What is infallible? Infallible is that which never fails me, which is trustworthy. We are in our life from the... Again, this is not something that we have decided to do. This is a desire or urge with which we are born. Each one of us is born with an urge to have the infallible. As Swamiji describes, as a child is born, as an infant, it thinks that it is infallible. The mother is the infallible. She is almighty. She is omniscient. She can do everything. Because when little insect comes, right away she brushes aside. The child is hungry, mother feeds, protects, gives warmth. Mother is infallible, most reliable, trustworthy, will never fail me. Will never deceive me. As a child grows, then, as his expectations also grow. Mother is poor, mother is the same. But then, as a child's expectations grow. And then now a lizard is shown, seen in the, on the wall, and a cockroach is seen in the bathroom, and stuff like that. And the child is worried, is afraid. Calls the mother. Mother comes and brushes aside the cockroach. Lizard, no problem. So suppose mother is, most mothers cannot do that. Suppose she does it. Usually mother itself run away, you know, along with the child. But a time comes when you find that the mother cannot do that. He discovers the limitation of mother. And sometimes finds also that mother is cheating, you know. She promised me and she did not fulfill the promise. Then you find the mother, child finds that I was cheated. Mama, I want to go with my uncle. No, no, your uncle has just gone to the market, he'll come back. And he has gone away, you know. But seeing the child otherwise would want to go with uncle. Say something. Mother forgets. But child realizes, uncle never came back. Where is uncle? He went home. So then you find slowly that Mother is also fallible, father also is fallible. Father is not worried about the cockroaches and lizards, but then something else. Everybody, one by one, nobody in the world can satisfy all your desires. If somebody, you are a very lucky person, really. If you find somebody, and we bless you to do that, if you find somebody who can satisfy you in every way, that's a great thing. But what we are seeking, infallible. It is relevant in our life. Every moment, that's what I want. Sarvam kshanikam kshanikam. Everything is momentary. What does it mean that? The reason why the Buddha said is that, look, everything is momentary. Don't run after that. Don't hang on to that. Because there, this moment, next moment is going to be different. So you have a certain estimate of what it is, and therefore you have a certain expectation of what it is. Next moment it is different. Everything is perishable, everything is changing, everything unreliable, not trustworthy, is not going to accompany you. What will come with you? Saath mein kya aayega? What will come with you? Everything will stay here and you will walk away. So, nothing is reliable, nothing is permanent, nothing is trustworthy, nothing will be with you all the time. You cannot take anything for granted. But that's what human mind wants. So when we analyze what is the infallible that we want, the reliable, the trustworthy, that which never fails me, necessarily has to be free from every limitation, has to be complete, has to be free from every limitation. And in order for something to be trustworthy, should not change. Because you see a thing, and have a trust that this is what it is, and after 6 months it turns out to be something else. Therefore, the infallible should necessarily be, for it to be trustworthy, for it to be infallible, it should not necessarily change, it should remain ever the same. That's what we want. We are seeking changeless. We are seeking that which is ever the same, which is infinite, which is free from every limitation. So this is very important to us. Whether we are, whatever our objective is, whether it's name, fame, wealth, power, heavens, whatever we want, behind every want, ultimately, there is a desire that once I get that, achieve that, I will not need to do anything more. Knowing which, nothing more will remain to be known. Gaining which, nothing will need to be gained. Reaching where, nowhere will I have to go. That's what we want. What is that? That has to be limitless. That has to be all pervasive. It has to be immutable, imperishable, changeless. That's called Brahman. So understand, Brahman is the most relevant, the only relevant thing. If you understand what we want, if you really look at what is our innate basic desire, what's the desire behind the desire, if you really look at that, then we find that it is only for Brahman. Whatever word you use and whatever name you give. So scriptures articulate what it is that we want. We may not have articulated what we want. Or we may articulate it wrongly in most cases. But if you articulate what you want, you realize that what you want in life is Brahman. Call it Aksharam, Paramam, Brahma, or whatever name you give. Here, but Brahma, but Aksharam, Paramam, each one of the words also reveals what it is. Aksharam means Naksharati iti Aksharam or Ashnuta iti Aksharam. Two meanings are given. Whether it is Naksharati, A and Kshara, so that which does not suffer any loss, meaning that which is immutable, imperishable is aksharam, or ashnuta iti aksharam, that which pervades everything also is called aksharam. That which pervades everything, meaning that it is everywhere. Otherwise, Swamiji, your limitless will be okay, but suppose I go to India, will it be there or not? Ashnute, it pervades everything, therefore it is everywhere. At all the places, at all the times, under all conditions. Because it never leaves you. Even this body doesn't remain with us all the time. This body, which I take so much care, is not available to me in the sleep when I am dreaming. This body is not available. Some other body is there. This also is not trustworthy. It also does not accompany me all the time. Even my mind also does not accompany me all the time. In the dream, I have a different kind of a mind. I don't have the benefit of all the knowledge that I have during waking state. The deep sleep, and that mind also is not there. Understand? Nothing remains. Everything is there for a time. Everything is conditional. Everything is with us only under certain conditions. What can be with me unconditionally? What accepts me unconditionally? What does not reject me at any time? Regardless of how I am, we always want to be accepted as we are. Is it not so? Swamiji, oh, not now. So when you go for an application with the job, he says, no, get some more qualification, get some more experience. But how can I get experience unless you give me a job? No, you can't get a job unless you have experience. You can't get experience unless you have a job. And so you can be rejected. You may not be accepted. Is there something that accepts me as I am? That only I can rely. That is something. That is called Brahman. So that is why Brahman, the immutable, imperishable, is the most and the only relevant thing in our life. That is what we are seeking. And that is subject matter of Vedanta. Why should we worry about Vedanta? So it is nice to study, so what? There are so many nice things to study. But Vedanta talks about that which is the most relevant thing in our life. So Lord Krishna says, aksharam brahma paramam. What's the name? What is that Brahman? It is immutable. It is paramam. It is limitless. There is something immutable. So that is something limitless. Nice to know that what I am seeking is there. Where is it? Adhyasvabhavaha adhyatma muchyate. It is said, whatever we know and whatever we experience is all mutable, is all perishable, is all changing. So then, where is Brahman, which I am seeking? Svabhavaha adhyatma muchyate. Svabhavaha. Svabhava means my own nature. My inherent nature. Lord Krishna says that very immutable or imperishable Brahman is Svabhava, your own inherent nature. That's what you are. So where should I go for in search of that immutable or infallible? Where should I go in search of the infallible? Thank God. Where is it? Svabhava adhyatma uchyate. That is obtained, located in this body, which is my own nature, inherent nature, is that Brahman. Atmanam deham adhikritya pratyagatmataya pravrittam. Adhi is a location, is a seventh case. Seventh case means, seventh case is a locative case. Adhi means location. And so, adi atmanam, that which is located in atma. Here atma means body, as I said. So atmanam, meaning deham, adhikritya, with body as a locus, pratyagatmataya pravrittam, that which obtains as my own self. Then Bhashyakara says, paramartha brahma avasanam vastu. Says, when you really look at what is the nature of the self? What is the nature of what you call self? So I call myself. When you really analyze it as to what it is, you know what it turns out to be? Paramartha Brahma Avasanam. It turns out to be Param Brahma. You mean I am Param Brahma? I, this little self, yes. The amazing thing is that this fellow is in search of the infallible. But the one who is in search of infallible, who is he? The infallible? I am in search of the immutable, imperishable, infallible. But I have taken for granted that the infallible that I am searching for is somewhere else. Like the tenth man, having taken for granted that the tenth man is someone else. That's why when you analyze who you are, analyze properly, count again, count carefully. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are only 9. Where is the tenth man? You are the tenth man. So also, this is perishable, this is perishable, this is perishable. So I've seen everything, Swamiji. I've had all experiences in life. Everything I know. I've known everybody. I know everything, Swamiji. People are so disappointed in life sometimes, you know. They say, I know everybody I know. What husband I know, wife also I know, children also I know, every friend, everybody I know. I've seen them all. I know what it is to be wealthy. I know what it is to be everything I know. Meaning that I have discovered the limitation of everything. Yad viditam tan martyam, as Shankaracharya says, yad viditam, when you really know a given thing, you realize martyam, it is mortal. It is limited. Heyam, therefore you discard it. Because we are in search of infallible, therefore whenever we really know something, it is discarded already. We may not outwardly discard it, in our mind it is gone. If you are holding on to something, means you have not yet known it correctly, that's all. Either you have not known that correctly, or not understood what you want, that's all. I am not suggesting don't hold to things, whatever. All I am saying is this, this is yad viditam tan martyam. Tad dukkhatmakam, tad heyam. That's how Shankaracharya explains in one place. Therefore, I'm looking everywhere. I've searched everything. But Bhashyakara says, so pratyagatmataya pravrittam, that which obtains as my own self, which has not been looked at, which has been taken for granted, as a limited being, as an insignificant creature, I have already taken for granted. He says, when you analyze what that is, you analyze what you truly are, Paramartha Brahma Avasanam, it turns out to be Brahman the infallible I'm searching for, turns out to be my own self. What a place to hide. You cannot have a better hiding place, isn't it so? Very cleverly. Why did Swami do, God do this? Tat srishtva tadevanu pravishata. Upanishad says that, having created this body-mind complex, tadevanu pravishata, Ishvara entered there. Esha sarvesu bhutesu godotma na prakashate. He is hidden in all the living beings. Eko deva sarva bhutesu gudaha. This deva, or this God, sarvabhuteshu gudaha, he is hidden in all the beings. It's not anybody's special privilege that he alone is Brahman, everything and everybody. Svabhavaha adhyatma mucchate. Svabhavaha, your true nature. Svabhavaha, not what I have taken myself to be, not what I think myself to be, not kind of opinions that I or opinions or the complexes I entertain about myself, not that, but what my true nature is. is nothing but Brahman. So Brahman which is immutable, Brahman which is imperishable, in fact, its first manifestation is my own self. Kim tad adhyatmam? O Lord Krishna, what is adhyatmam? What's the one the Rupain says in this body? Lord Krishna says, it is Brahman that obtains in your own body, meaning that Brahman obtains as your own self. In 13th chapter, Lord Krishna will say, Upadrashta Anumanta cha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara Paramatma iti chapyukta Dehesmin Purushah Paraha Asmin Dehe. Arjuna, in this body, Paramatma is watching everything, is permitting everything, is present right there as your own self. This Param Brahma, Aksharam, but Akshara also is quite famous in the Upanishads. Akshara word is used in the Upanishads also, in Mundaka Upanishad, in Bhadaranyaka Upanishad also. Gargi is asking a question of Yajnavalkya. And Yajnavalkya says, Eta Seva Aksharasya Prashasane Gargi. He Gargi, in the mighty rule of the Akshara or immutable, the sun and moon, everything is, everybody is held in their position. The whole universe functions the way it does in the mighty rule of this immutable. So Akshara is the one, the limitless, the substratum, which manifests as the very order, under whose rule the sun and the moon and the time, everything functions in an orderly manner. So that is how it shows the presence of the immutable, a presence of Brahman, that everything is in order, everything follows laws, that shows that there is some principle that is responsible for the order of the law, and that is Akshara, that also is immutable. Aksharam Brahma Paramam Svabhavaha Adhyatma Muchyate. Just in these two, Lord Krishna already told us the what we call Mahavakya, you know, meaning that revealing the identity of Brahman and the Self. Bhutabhavod Bhavakaraha Visargaha Karma Sangitaha. Kim tat karma? O Lord, what's the nature of karma? So Lord Krishna gives a very long definition. Bhuta bhavod bhavakaraha. Bhuta bhavaha. Origination of beings. Udbhavakaraha. Bhuta bhava. So bhuta means a thing. Bhuta bhava, existence of the things. Bhuta bhava, udbhavak, originator of the existence of the things. Means that which is responsible for the creation is called karma. Bhūta-bhāva udbhava-karaha. The causes the production or the origination of all the things and all the beings, meaning that which is responsible for the creation is called karma. So what is that karma? Visargaha. Visargaha means offering. Lord Krishna says that what is responsible for the creation of the whole universe is visarga, offering. You know what is offering? This morning also you must have seen that yajna being performed, where offering is done. So what is meant by visarga? Or offering dravyatyagaha, devato deshena dravyatyagaha. So the offering of the material that we make to a given devata is called visarga or tyaga, in a particular yajna. In short, what we call yajna. What is yajna? Yajna is translated as sacrifice or offering, but yajna is the method of worshipping devatas where we make an offering to a particular devata. In the fire, a devata or a god or a deity is invoked and we make an offering to that deity with the utterance of appropriate mantras. That process is called yajna or tyaga. Lord Krishna says that here the word uses visarga, which means the same thing. So that offering of the yajna, Lord Krishna says, is called karma, which is responsible for the creation of the whole universe. That's how the word karma is explained. Swamiji, the Lord Krishna says that yajna is responsible for creation. The universe is created because of yajna. Yajna means an offering, offering to Ishvara. So the word yajna in Bhagavad Gita is explained as any action that is performed in the spirit of offering to Ishvara. So Lord Krishna says that this very spirit of offering to Ishvara is responsible for the creation of the universe. Yajnat bhavati parjanyah. So Lord Krishna in the third chapter also said, annat bhavanti bhutani, that all the beings come into existence because of food. All the beings are born of food. Food which is consumed by the parents, that results into the birth of a child. Therefore, all the beings are born of food, sustained by food, go back into food. The food in turn is caused by the rain, and rain in turn is caused by yajna. So the belief is, agnau prastha hoti samyak adityam upatishtate. The belief is that whatever ahutis we give, when you perform the yajna, whatever ahutis we make, all these ahutis or oblations, they get converted in a subtle form. All of them are stored in Aditya or in Surya or in Hiranyagarbha. He is the Karahaladatta. So whatever ahutis we make in our life, all of these are stored there. And as a result of that, Hiranyagarbha or Surya gives rise to the vrushti or the rain, which then brings about the food, which brings about the life and sustains the life. So, agnau prastha hoti samyak adityam upadishthave. Aditya jayate vrushtihi. So, it is said that vrushti or rain is possible because of aditya or sun, which is a fact also, that sun is responsible for heating and warming and converting the water into vapor, into clouds, into rain. And so, it's a scientific fact also. But this was known to them in some other way anyway. They must have known this way also. But then, this rain is possible because of the ahuti. And so, this is the Vedic concept, that the universe is born of as a process of yajna. You must have heard this Vedic sutta called Purusha Sutta, in which is described how the whole universe came into being because of yajna, where God sacrificed Himself. And that's how the universe is born. Yajnena yajnam ayajanta devaha. Tani dharmani prasamani asana. So the first dharma is yajna, or sacrifice, or self-offering. So this yajna is called the karma, which is responsible for the origination of all the beings, or origination of this universe. That's how the first three questions are answered. What is Brahman? What is Adhyatmam? What is karma? We'll continue our discussion in the next session with a break.